Okay, and we're back. We are going to talk now with our friend, one of the great minds and authorities and one of the wisest people of our times. He is Jordan Maxwell, a man who understands more about the so-called secret government and secret societies than probably anybody alive or anybody that will be alive. He is a remarkable resource. I urge you to go to his website and avail yourself of this man's over 50 years of work. Much of it is there. More of it is going up all the time. He is giving presentations around the L.A. area on fairly recent and regular occasions. Hopefully you'll be able to catch him and sit down and talk to him. He is amazing. He is Jordan Maxwell. Are you there, Jordan?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Jeff. You're always very generous, and I appreciate it.
Well, the truth has always been
like
easy for me.
You, thank you. Well, like I told you, I've come to a place in my life, but I don't even really know what to say. I guess it's that time in my life where I've just had a loss for words. There's so much that needs to be explained to people, and I feel like I'm trying to drain the Pacific with a teacup.
So, that's a very good analogy, and that's not unacceptable or off the mark at all. I think it's accurate. Where do we begin when we find someone who is beginning to wake up and still has a viable intellect? How do you begin to bring them along in a logical and pragmatic way? It is not easy because the temptation is for them to want to leap ahead quickly. Here, jump there, move here. You can't do that because there'll be big holes behind you, and you won't be able to stand on firm ground when trying to come to logical, rational, and pragmatic conclusions about processing new data.
Well, you got that right, and there's no doubt about that, that young people, and I feel so very sorry for young people who want to know. Those who couldn't care less and are entertaining themselves, that's one thing, but there's a lot of good people, both old and young, but especially younger people, I really have a feeling for, a deep feeling for, because I remember when I was young and I wanted to know, and if there was, and there was always great minds around that I wanted to find, and when I could find speakers and teachers and authors and lecturers to help educate myself as to what's going on, because I wanted to know. And so I look at the young people today who sincerely want to know what's going on in the world, and I keep thinking to myself, you know what, 70 years old, I don't even know how to talk to these young people anymore. I don't even know where to start, and I don't have the wherewithal to, you know, to do it anyway.
Very hard. And what makes it even harder, and with absolutely no disrespect whatsoever, but many of the younger people just do not have the same values upon which the basic intellect operates that we did. They think differently. They don't think as pragmatically as we do in many cases. They're not as methodical, not as deliberate. Their pace is such that they want to jump, as I said, and scurry from thing to thing and just basically engorge themselves in just quantum leaps, and it doesn't work that way.
No, that's not the way you build a building. You build it one brick at a time. It's got to be well thought out. And the one thing that's missing today in young people around the world is they have never been given, I mean, it's not their fault, but they've not been given any real, legitimate grounding. And the parents who should have been grounding them, they had no grounding, and their grandparents had no grounding. So that's why today we have generations which are just lost. They have no real spiritual or intellectual grounding. They don't even know what the truth might even be. They wouldn't even know the truth of it if it hit them. So,
and that, now there are some young people out there who do get it, and we're not talking about you folks. But that of you people who get it, who are young, have friends who are interested, at least momentarily, and the interest comes and goes. And you're having trouble bringing them along because they're brought up in this paradigm of Never Never Land. And my God, it's so antithetical to that. media portrayed culture we live in, or lack of culture, that they just don't know how to deliberate. It's too quick. Everything is fast. Here's a little thing. Let me play this. Hang on to your thought there, Jordan. This is, how long is it? I don't know. 5 minutes. We should be able to have enough time. Three guys sitting at a table, three different cell phones they've never used. They're going to be asked a question to find something on the internet via these smartphones, like an Apple iPhone or something, okay?
Yeah.
And they are really fast at finding popular songs, music videos, but listen to their verbal articulation or lack thereof. Now, these are average young people. All right, here we go. Here it is. Okay. Doesn't want to work for me now. Hold on, we'll get it there. If it doesn't work now, I'll play it next. I'm going to have to reload the page. All right, well, anyway, the idea is that they're sitting at a table and somebody's asking them questions with the, and they have these three cell phones they've never used before, okay? Here we go now.
So how's it going, guys? Thanks for coming in for me.
No worries.
So you guys pretty much do nothing.
Absolutely.
The three dudes with long hair.
Totally.
So I'm going to ask you guys each a couple of questions, okay?
What do you use your phone for mostly?
Fun girls and stuff.
Do you surf?
Yep. Go there, get wasted, rack up some numbers, make out with some chicks.
Yeah. Does anyone know what the word text actually stands for?
Texting means telecommunication, experiment, crossing time.
Okay, guys. So, gentlemen, let's pick up your smartphones. Have any of you ever used these specific models of cell phones before?
No.
No.
Okay, great. What we're going to do now is we're going to do a little practice exercise on the phones. So the first person to find a song called the Sailor Song, I want you to hit the bell. Starting now. Okay, and stop your music. And we know that that song probably has a music video. As soon as you find it on the internet, I want you to hit the bell. Starting now.
Oh.
Caleb, you found that very fast. How did you find that?
There was like this button on top of the picture. It's like an infinity sign.
Caleb, are you stoned?
Okay, well, you get the idea. There was like this button on top of this picture. Now, they were using these smartphones with one hand and their thumb, and they were able to pull up that song and then the music video, and they had never seen the phones before. Does the term idiot savant without the savant mean anything? I don't know.
Yeah, lacking the savant, yeah.
I mean,
well, I'll give you another example that was just absolutely astounding to me is when I was in San Diego not too many years ago working with the Truth Seeker Company, and one night I came out, it was during the Hale-Bopp comet period.
Oh, yeah.
And I came out of my condo, and it was out that night, and it was a bunch of kids, high schoolers. There was about 10 of them standing out in the parking lot right by my car. So I came out and stood there with them looking at the Hale-Bopp comet, and one of the kids said, I made some kind of a comment like, it's beautiful, isn't it? And one of the boys, they were very nice kids too. They were very, very polite high schoolers. And one of them said, "Well, what is that?" And I said, "Well, it's a comet." And they said, "What is a comet?" So I explained it to them. And then one of the other boys says, you know, there's a question we all have that we would like if you can explain it to us.
And Hold it right there. Let's come back and finish this. We've got to take a break. That's amazing. What is a comet? And yeah, and that was in 95, 96 or something,
something
I guess.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, 15 years ago. Well, as I played for all of you out there, these three kids, and they're in their 20s, early 20s. These aren't 16-year-olds. They were in their 20s. And they could sure use those smartphones.
Oh, yeah.
No articulation, no ability to speak coherently. That's trouble, folks. Big trouble. All right.
No doubt about it.
Back in a minute. Don't lose your place on that story. Hang on. Okay, and let's get back to Jordan. All right, Jordan, you're out talking to these high school kids in the parking lot. They don't know what a comet is, looking up at the Hale-Bopp comet, and...
Right. Then one of them said, can you answer something for us we've been wondering about? And I tried to. And he said, where does the sun go when it leaves?
Where does
the sun go?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I looked at him, and I realized instantly he was sincere.
Oh, no.
And he looked at me. He was very sincere, and everyone was looking to me for an answer. And I said, are you joking? He said, no, we wanted to know, where does the sun go when it leaves? And I was horrified. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to answer them. And I finally tried to explain it to them, you know, without condescending and without sounding, you know, like I was condescending to answer them. But I didn't know how to answer them, you know, without offending them. My God, and since then I have had those kind of questions asked me in emails, and people called me even today asking me questions that are just, it's frightening how far away from the basic concept of humanity and intelligence people have gotten. I mean, and I say to myself a lot, and because of my age and my health, I say to myself a lot, but when I do go out and and do speaking engagements, I come across people who have no idea in the world what's going on, and I'm just amazed listening to the questions that they come up with. So I don't, you know, I'm afraid for the future, because I know that the young people today have purposely been dumbed down so that they will not be any problem to their masters who believe that they own the human race. And John D. Rockefeller, many years ago, and you probably remember this quote, I'm just paraphrasing it, but many years ago, the old man Rockefeller wrote that something to the effect that we don't need any more lawyers and doctors and highly professional people. We have enough of them. We got too many. We don't need any more of them. What we need are workers, people to do our bidding and people to do the work. So we don't want to train people in America any longer to be highly educated and intelligent. You know, you can't deal with those kind of people. What we want to produce now in America are working class people who, you know, they don't have to ask any questions. They don't know from nothing and don't understand anything. That's basically what you said. And so we don't need the intelligent people anymore. We got too many of them. So that's what's been happening. In fact, that's what the schools are, in fact, turning out. Because I said this a long time ago. The federal government, when the federal government pays money to get something done and you contract to them, you had better fulfill the contract to the letter, because they are very strict on seeing to it that where their money is going, that it's, you know, it's being used for what they want it to be used, and they're getting the results they want. Well, the results from the public school system today is absolutely ludicrous. But that's exactly what they are paying for. That's precisely what they want to come out of the school. And I realize why. It's because they have an agenda. The people who are running this government and behind governments of the world have an agenda. And one of the things they don't want, like George Carlin said, is intelligent people who can think for themselves, because that's very, very difficult to control, a highly intelligent, well-grounded people. You couldn't fool the people back when I was a little child.
No, sure, they're poison to tyranny. Yeah.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, when I was a little kid, you couldn't go around and say the things that you could today to older people, to my grandfather and to the old adults when I was growing up as a child. You know, they've been around. They know what the score is, and you trying to tell them something that's a bunch of bull, they know it.
Yeah.
But today, I mean, the politicians can say anything, and the people just buy into it. As long as it's a movie star or somebody is bouncing a basketball, nobody questions anything. And the most frightening thing of all in my life I have to deal with is the fact that today, especially in America, facts do not matter any longer. It doesn't matter what the facts are, what the reference works say. It just doesn't matter. There is a consensus reality, and whatever the people are thinking, that's what it is. It is what it is. And so you can show them from a reference book, an encyclopedia, from their religious reference book, what that word means, what it actually means. Couldn't care less. Could not care less. That whatever it is they believe it is, that's what it is. And that is scary, because that means you cannot win in any court on the merit of your argument. You cannot win in a court, because it doesn't matter what your facts are. It doesn't matter. Bring in all the law books you want. Bring in all the proof.
Right.
It just don't matter. What matters is, what does the judge feel it is? What does he think it is?
Yeah.
What does he believe about you? And whatever it is he thinks, that's what the law is.
And if he gets up on the wrong side of the bed, you're screwed.
That's it. You're going to jail. It doesn't matter. You can have all the, you can have, and I've talked to attorneys and big-time lawyers that will tell me, just going to court doesn't mean you're going to get justice. You've got to know what to do and how to do it behind the scenes. And, you have to know the judge and have something on the side with them, because you cannot win anything in a court today on the basis of, on the merit of the law and of documentation. It just don't work in America anymore, because the system has taught people that it doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter what the encyclopedia says.
Right.
It just doesn't matter.
Right. There are exceptions still, but by and large, Jordan is telling the story that most of you know all too well. Many of you have probably been victimized by it. All right, we'll be right back in just a couple. We're talking with Jordan Maxwell about the state of affairs. You know, a lot of people, when you attempt, even to intelligent people, when you attempt to bring these issues up, Jordan, they, as you well know, and probably many of you listening have the same problem, they'll tell you that you're negative, that you're all manner of non-productive person, because you don't believe that things can be taken back. We can take country back from, they're going to, like these killers are going to give up. Like they're going to just turn it, all right, you win. You're unhappy. The majority of Americans don't like what we're doing, so we're going to vacate and turn the country back to the republic that it once alleged to be.
Yeah, sure.
They're going to kill everybody before they'll ever do that, and that's the tragedy of it. They'll never give it up. And when you see, that's too big of a leap for 95% of Americans to make. They can't make it. They don't understand it. And so all you can do is try to nudge around the edges a little bit and give them hints and send them an occasional YouTube video, because that's what people do now. They don't read anymore. They want to see and listen. And I can just imagine how many of them move their lips when they're watching a YouTube video. At least they're trying, but that's the medium now. It's the 3 to 5, 6 minute soundbite on a YouTube video. That's how education, that's how information, and that's how knowledge is being pervaded. And it's just the way it is now.
I used to sit in libraries for hours and hours, even
weeks.
When I was in even in seventh and eighth and ninth grade. I'd get out of school, and God, I hated school. And I would go to the library and sit and read. The older I got, I just lived in libraries. I loved going to UCLA and spending days and weeks reading and studying. And today, that's ludicrous to even talk of doing such a thing. We got television. What do you need that for? Besides, you got basketball. And I realized that the entire nation is being purposely led down the garden path and manipulated in such a way as that we're never going to be able to find our way back. And the handful of people who are trying are so overwhelmed. I mean, it really cost me a lot just doing what I do in my health alone, in my family and my health. And so I realized it's just not much that I can do. I just do the best I can given the circumstances. But
right.
But I know what we're up against. We're up against a world of hurt, and the whole human race is going down. And there's only a handful of people who are trying to stand up and do something.
Well, and those people are eventually going to have to either the controllers will allow them to keep throwing their pebbles in the giant lake, little pebbles we're throwing, and they'll let us alone, or we'll be forced to step out of the way.
Like my one minister that I have the highest respect for, a Christian minister, but he said, if you take a large stone or a big rock out to the edge of the pier and drop it off, it will scare the peewads out of all the fish around the pier will be frightened. But the whales didn't hear it. And unless you can do something to get the whales' attention, you haven't done anything. And so that's why I see so many good people thinking they're going to change something and they're going to take America back and all that kind of thing. But I know that what has been put into place is so diabolical and so well-financed and so well-thought-out that
and deadly.
Now, unless we have intervention from a higher source, I don't see America being saved at all. I don't see the human race being saved, because the powers that be have locked in what they're doing, and they will kill you if you even try and stop it. So unless there's some kind of an intervention, some sort of a spiritual intervention into mankind's affairs, I'm afraid the human experiment has failed. And it's going to fail very big one day soon. Because when this stuff finally unravels and starts falling apart, incidentally, I believe that sometime after April of next year, the entire monstrosity of conspiracies are going to begin to come into the public mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to start breaking down big time, and people are going to begin to see what's really been going on for a long time. It's going to come out. People like Gerald Celente is helping to awaken people to how this stuff really works. And I think that next year, sometime after April, is my gut feeling, there's going to be a massive awakening to the conspiratorial apparatus that's been set up around the world, especially over America. And the worst part is America is really the last great hope. And if America goes under, which is going quickly, the rest of the world is going to suffer because of it.
We're the only country on the planet that has a guarantee of freedom of speech in a constitution or any other governmental bedrock. That's
exactly
it.
Right.
Nobody else has it.
That's right.
Americans think all the other countries are about like a folks. We're it. And that's why, as I've said before, people are, well, where can we move to? Where you don't move anywhere. You stay here.
That's right. You
make the best of it. And you work at the local level. You live your life to the best of your ability. You try to help those around you who need and want the help. Otherwise, you know, stay healthy and just stay out of harm's way, because as Jordan just said, you get in the way and they'll kill you. And no problem
at
all.
America is the only country on the earth, probably in history, that has a written document, an actual written document, which is a contract, mm-hmm. which says that this people are to be free and that they have a right to speak and a right to believe what they wish. And it's the only country in the world that has a written constitution that guarantees our freedom. And the people who are running the country today couldn't care less about your freedoms, your Bill of Rights, nothing. These are criminals of the highest order.
Psychopaths.
And unless until the people decide that they've had enough, it's just going to continue. And
their game.
And these criminals at the top know that the only way that people will be able to rebel and actually do something is if they're highly educated. And that's why they are making sure that that's the one thing the young people of this country are not going to get is an education.
Knowledge.
Give them as much alcohol and drugs and television mm-hmm. and entertainment, and make sure they got plenty of footballs and basketballs and tennis balls and all kinds of entertainment. But one thing you don't want is a bunch of young teenagers reading and studying and questioning authority and questioning everything, because now you got some serious problems.
Well, the obfuscation of knowledge, which is the most powerful tool of all, is, of course, it's a fait accompli. They've got control of the knowledge and the wisdom, and they've reeled it in and they've sequestered it away, and the poor sheep, not much of a chance. Back in a minute. Talking with Jordan Maxwell, and as you look around the world, you see nations struggling, you see war in Afghanistan for almost 10 years now. Pakistan is dissolving into a state of anarchy. Watch for potential there with India. We are truly the great Satan, this country, in their eyes, and deservedly so. We've killed 2-3 million Afghanis, at least 2 million Iraqis. That's, 5 million. There's a Holocaust or two there. And nobody does a thing about it. Nobody does anything about it. The American people aren't going to. They've lost their ability to get out and do anything. They're small groups. But without the internet, you'd never hear anything about any of them at all. And believe me, if the internet becomes a problem, the controllers will simply shut it down or reconfigure it and make it, they'll spay and neuter it real quick is what they'll do. So,
well, you got that right. And that's why I tell people, to get as much as you can now while it's still available.
And put it away, keep it, because one day it may not be available. And we've got to preserve what we had, and that's what Morris Berman said in his book, it was 15 years ago now, Twilight of the American Culture. You need to gather as much as you can, live your lives on a daily basis to the best of your ability with kindness and grace and morality. And now look at it. You heard those three young 20-year-old, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. What do their lives hold for them. They have a vocabulary of maybe 400 or 500 words. They have no intellect. They don't know how to read. They are semi-literate. 75% of college graduates in this country are not fully literate. There's a tremendous dropout rate in most of the inner cities. You have gangs. You have anarchy. We are just a hair's breadth away from anarchy in any major urban area that the controllers would like to see explode. It can happen at any time. That we are putty in their hands.
And on their television, like on Discovery and History Channel, it's incredible. On History Channel, what are they showing us? What are they educating people on the History Channel?
I don't watch it. What are they?
Yeah, gangs. What it's like to be inside the prisons and a gang, or wrestling, or a bunch of guys down in Orange County building motorcycles, or some kind of criminality, or but that's on the History Channel. That's it. That's all you get is gangs, drug running, and
aren't they
killing.
You mean Hitler has been dethroned as the world's all-time bogeyman?
I know, and so I was just waiting to see something of intrinsic value on the History Channel. And I'm just amazed how much there's just nothing out there redeemable value. Nothing.
Whatever you see on there is on there because it brings numbers, and that's what the demographics call for.
That's it.
They're catering to an ever lower, and how much lower can it get, common denominator? We're very close to actual life and death combat spectacles. I mean, I really think we're right there, and
I think so too.
Yeah,
I think
pay-per-view, and they offered $10 million to the winner, and they'd have no end of volunteers who'd go and try and take the other person out. It would be a gladiator thing. They could do it right now.
I'm sure they could. You see, especially in these religious programs, when I'm seeing these guys jumping around on the stage, talking about the Lord.
And, your jaw must be just hanging down. You must not believe what you're seeing, some of it.
Oh, God, I'm telling you, it's just outrageous. And yet, the audiences, there are thousands of people paying big money to be there to watch these ministers and clergy jumping around the stage. And I don't have any words to explain how fearful this is to me. What a frightening situation.
It's all product. There's no talent. You saw that, and I played the clip, the audio, people could hear it anyway, this cretin called Lady Gaga wore a meat dress to the music awards last week, and what that is, wearing a meat dress mocked life. Is what it did. It had a, there was a message there, probably a couple of them, and she is absolutely deified by the crowds. And you look in the audience, and these young girls, 18, 16, 20, 22, screaming with just elation, practically having a physical orgasm at just seeing this icon of magnificence called Lady Gaga, and then just that's it.
Yeah, and that's what the powers that be put stuff.
They
like
engineered
that out
it.
There.
It's all engineered.
Yeah. All of it is engineered. The whole thing, and it's frightening.
It goes back to the Royal Institute of International Affairs in the 30s, which began studying the work of Edward L. Bernays and others, and they came forward with the. I mean, they know, and I mentioned this before, Jordan. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but for you who've heard it, forgive me. But there is a two or three supercomputers or more have been daisy-chained together, and they have created an entire planet Earth, a cloned virtual Earth in cyberspace in these computers. They are absolutely identical to the planet we inhabit, the exact number of people, the exact number of geopolitical systems, the rain, the wind, the oceans, the pollution, the toxicity, the wars. It's all there. It's updated by the microsecond, by the millisecond, by the nanosecond. So whatever they want to do, they can. They have a world, an Earth, an identical Earth that they can practice on. They can introduce any set of circumstances, any situation, and find out how the sheep are going to react to it, plus or minus, you know, maybe 1%. That's the kind of advantage they have. It's amazing.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I remember a government guy working for the federal government was being interviewed a few years back, and but something he said caught me. He said, my job is to carry a laptop that is filled to the brim with dates, and it's and my job is to coordinate dates with events. And the guy said, what do you mean coordinate dates with events? He said, well, just all the most important dates are in my computer, and all the most important events are coming up.
Wow.
They're going to come up. Everything is all computerized, so we know exactly what day a particular event should happen in relation to a hidden agenda of dates. He said, but that's my job. I roam around with a laptop that has all the dates and all the events and to coordinate them. So that tells you something. They know what they're doing.
When was this, Jordan?
This is about 5 years ago. It was on a television show, and I thought, wow, man, that's pretty heady stuff.
And they actually put it right out there in our faces, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And they realize that you're not going to, it doesn't mean anything because it's not a basketball score, so nobody's going to really take it serious. And, you know, I remember things from years ago, seeing back in the, you know, 1960s, seeing on things on television, NBC, stuff that was just mind-boggling, and I realized the significance of what I was watching. Chet Huntley, who used to be one of the news anchormen for NBC Network, he even said one night, he says that there are people today behind the scenes who are planning on who is going to live and who is going to die. Because the world is only big enough for a certain amount of people, and so it means that certain people in certain countries are going to have to die. And there are people, and this was on the nightly news, Chet Huntley was said this. He said, and there are people who are now looking at this problem and are deciding right now who is going to live and who's going to have to die. And I thought, wow, man, what a trip. Saying something like that on NBC Network News. But, and I remember, you know, all comments like that, all as I was growing up, I knew instinctively there's something very serious and bad going on here. And that's what gave me the idea at a very early age that there's a whole mindset going on behind the world that is leading us all into this mindset that we all have come to accept as reality. It's called consensus reality. It's not real at all.
Consensus
I'm just
reality.
Afraid of where it's taking us.
Right. And contextual morality, whatever the context of the situation, whatever seems like it's needed is moral.
You're right.
It's floating morality. It's utterly malleable. It's to be spread around on a like a mayonnaise on a piece of bread.
You're right. All I would say is, leaving you with this, is just go to my website and check it all out. I got some new videos that are really going to be controversial you'll want to see.
Great. All right.
Thanks,
Jordan.
Talking to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. Take care.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Mr. Jordan Maxwell, and jordanmaxwell.com is the website, and it's a treasury of information for those who are seriously on a search for reality. There's one of your main destinations right there. We hope you'll stop at ours too, rents.com. Get a look at the world as it generally really is, as best I can present it to you at any rate. All right, we'll pause and be right back with you tomorrow night, Tuesday already, as we move into the week. See you then.